Hey everyone, thanks so much for joining in on the podcast. Today I have Team Retrog on the channel, so I'm just going to ask him to introduce himself and we'll get into it.
Hi, so my name is Mikhailov, and I'm in charge of the Team Retrog YouTube channel. It's a team of one currently, and I'm part of the Retro Handhelds community, and I'm one of the many YouTubers that likes to talk about retro handhelds, retro games, and the devices that bring them to us.
Cool. Yeah, like you say, many, yeah. Because I was on Twitter today and I discovered another guy who's making high-quality videos all about retro handhelds, so there's lots of us.
Yeah, the community has just exploded over the last 3 years. It's crazy where this whole thing has gone.
Yeah, it really is. So let's talk about where you are right now as a human being, like career-wise. Well, let's start with the YouTube. So what are you currently doing YouTube-wise?
I'm trying to cover this weird mishmash of tutorial versus review. I find myself doing more reviews than tutorials these days just because there's so much stuff and I can't seem to keep my wallet in check. So just by self nature, I have a backlog of devices I want to talk about. And some of them are small. Some of them I'm able to do a tutorial and I don't really need to do a review. Like I did that with the 405M. I decided I didn't want to review that device. I wanted to actually talk more about Gamma OS. And so that ended up being a tutorial video. But then I end up with some of the bigger stuff, like I have an ROG Ally. I'm actually staring at it right now because it's giving me a hard time. It's mocking me. It's saying, hey, you're enjoying me too much. I'm going to do something wrong. And so now I'm having like AMD issues and now I have to figure out how to update my drivers and all that fun stuff. But that was, I think, a two-part review. And then when I got the Steam Deck, I fell in love with that so much. I did like a four-part. I did three tutorial videos, and then I did like a final review at the end. And I may even go back to that just because we love that thing.
It's interesting with the Steam Deck because I was analyzing like a few of our channels and to try and see why everyone's doing so well. So obviously we're in a niche and that's why it's doing well. But also, I mean, you've had rapid growth. Joey Retro Handhelds has had rapid growth. And I had a look at everyone's channels. And am I correct in saying you really doubled down on the Steam Deck? Because I noticed all of us at some point went all in on a specific device or a specific type of tutorial and it kind of grew our channel. Is that what you did?
I think so. It was weird because I think I started kind of in a similar vein as Stubbs and Russ. And so that's kind of how I kind of weaseled my way into the community because I found that people are very welcoming in the Retro Handhelds Discord. Stubbs especially, because one day I eventually reached out to him and I'm like, listen, I see Rob's doing well. I see, you know, Russ has a corner. You know, what would you say about working with me? And he didn't shut me out, even though my channel at the time was pretty small. It's still pretty small. But he didn't shut me out. He's like, you know what? Yeah, come on in. We are more than willing to have you. Your content's good. And we'll help each other out. And I think that's kind of what's happening. And so, yeah, Steam Deck was kind of just what I was playing and I just kept doing content on it. I'm like, there's so much that I could talk about here. So why not do multi-part videos? And then the WIT 600 came. And God, that device is such a piece. But that was my next multi video session. I'm like, you know what?
Yeah,
this thing is a piece. But it can run multiple operating systems. So let me talk about my experience with all of those. And so I did a four-part on those. And then the Odin came. And I did the same thing. And I don't know, somewhere along the line, I kind of like just... I ended up with so many devices that I stopped doing the multi-part stuff because
Yes.
I just, if I do that, if I keep doing that, I won't get to everything. And maybe I'll just never get to everything. Who knows?
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like that's a lesson for all of us, actually, is because I am literally snowed under, like, everything is neat behind me here, but to my right-hand side is a literal pile of devices. And I think I get so bogged down by that, but, I mean, I've figured out that, you know, looking at everyone's channel, that we get good growth. And I think, you know, people listening now, like, will probably comment in the video saying they love it when we kind of double down on a device, because then they get more out of our content, you know? So it's definitely something to think of for the future.
Yeah. And I've always said, I've said it in the Discord, I've said it, I think, you know, the times that I've was on the podcast, the Retro Handhelds podcast, we are the insane minority. Not everybody, 30,000 people I know, minority, I'm probably under exaggerating here, but not everybody out in the world is going out there and saying, hey, you know what, I need this handheld. But this handheld us this better, so I'm going to buy this one too. And then I need something for travel, so I'm going to take this one too. But you know what? I want this one for travel, so I'm going to take these two. Before you know it, like you're swimming in them, literally. It's like Uncle Scrooge, but handhelds. You need a vault for them. So
you're like, I have to now have one with a square screen, the RGB30, because it's slightly different to the RP2S, you know?
And I'm like, you know what? This is it. This is what I'm going to play Game Boy Color on. And then Retro Pocket Flip came in. You know what? Never mind. This is what I'm going to play Game Boy Color on. And it just keeps happening.
I said it in my video that I made today, is we have two audiences. There's the hobby community, and they're the one in the comments, and they feel like the content is just for them. But there's also people who reach out to me in DMs and stuff and go, do I really need to do all the crap you just told me in that video? And then I go, no, actually, you don't. You can really just use the device as is, you know. So there's two audiences.
Yeah.
There's the person who buys the Retro Pocket 3 Plus Metal version to use for the rest of their life. Good luck with that.
Yeah.
But, and then there's us.
And then there's, you know, and then there's Joey, who just uses the ROG Ally all the time. Which, Joey, if you're listening, I'm calling you out. You owe me a Smash Brothers battle.
Sounds like a plan.
I've been telling him for weeks. He won't do it.
Okay.
Like, he keeps evading it. I know he's going to beat me, but I want it to happen. I want people to watch.
Yeah, I'm dreading the day that I'm actually with all of you guys somewhere in time and space, and then everyone realizes that I'm really bad at playing games.
So am I, but that doesn't stop me from trash talking.
Are you doing this full time, or do you have a day job?
No, and I don't know if full time will ever be in the cards for me. I'll never stop doing it. I mean, unless handhelds stop, which I don't think that's ever going to happen.
No.
I think we will definitely, you know, continue to have this technology for years to come. I think it is absolutely the future of gaming, especially for people, you know, who don't have time to sit in front of their TV. And, you know, I think as we get older, there is going to be a younger generation. I mean, like, look at Ban from the community. Like, he is much younger than most of us, and he plays retro games. Yeah. I want to say, forgive me, Ban, for calling you out in the middle of an interview, but I want to say he's in his 20s. And
Ban,
and here I am sitting here.
Let us know.
Yeah, sorry, I'm commenting on your youngness. But I have to wonder, like, and Ban and I talk all the time, and we, you know, buy handhelds from each other and then sell them back to each other because you know,
because that's productive.
One of the two of us is insane. I sold him my Logitech G Cloud, and he literally sold it back to me last week, probably for exactly the same price I sold it to him for. I don't think there was anything gained from that. Like, literally, he had my device for a month and sent it back to me.
That's funny.
Took my money as collateral. So
it's a deposit.
It was a deposit. It was an extended loan, but it's good to, it, you know, I'm glad that he's younger, because I don't want to see a generation of people. And it happens. I might as well get this out of the way. I'm a high school teacher, and I hate seeing a lot of my students like 17, 16 years old. And the only thing they want to talk to me about is Fortnite and Call of Duty. And I really want to tell them, have you heard of this game called Super Mario Brothers 3? Like,
yeah,
go play it and report back. I will legit tell them, if you could beat Super Mario Brothers 3 and give me proof, I will give you extra credit. Like, that's how passionate I am about older games getting lost to time.
Yeah.
But so I even have like a coworker of mine he's 30. He was just asking me, he bought He bought an Ambernic RG353VS on my recommendation, set it up for him nice with, I think I used Jealous for him because I wanted him to have something that was menu-based. And every now and again, we'll be sitting during our preparation periods and he'll just, you know, don't mind me, I'm just playing Breath of Fire. And so he wants to upgrade now. He's like, what can I upgrade to? And so I just, I'm like, you know what? Let me bring in a couple. Just, you know, I have enough.
Yeah.
So I brought the Retroid Pocket for him to try. And he dug that. He dug that because it could play PSP. And I'm like, well, you know what? If you want something that could play PSP, let me bring the 505. Because you've had good luck with Ambernic. So try the 505 tomorrow. See how you feel about that. And so I'm trying to get people who, you know, are younger than us and curious about what games were like back in the 80s, 90s, 2000s.
Yeah.
And I'm just trying to get them settled in on a device. I actually handed the Retroid Pocket Flip to my nephew this weekend. And he literally just sat there and played Super Mario Brothers 3 for a good hour. And he loved it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that the Retroid Pocket Flip, we might be onto something there, because my son he's just turned 8. And he's been playing the Flip. And I started him, because he's very into Pokemon, so I got him started on Game Boy Advance Pokemon game. So I started him there. I thought, let's start him right at the beginning. And then he just, like, the other day I realized, he was like, oh, I'm playing this game on DS, but then I'm switching platforms, Dad. And he was like, he's learning all the different systems that we play on, like DS, 3DS, and you know, the Sega systems. He's learned it all just from using that device. So, I think it's a fun little thing, and I think if I don't know, I think learning the history of it really gives you an appreciation for where things have gone, and I don't know, in some ways where some games have kind of lost their way, you know? Yeah.
I actually was just...
Man, but...
Well, no, I was just talking to somebody. So I do a little podcast on the side called the JRPG Report. And my buddy Dalton, it's his show, but he messaged me one day and he was just like, I'm getting burned out on it, doing it by myself. I'm like,
yeah,
I'll go on. I'll co-host with you. Mm. And so I was talking to him the other day, and we were talking about Starfield and how it wasn't what we expected it to be, and how we were just starting to naturally compare it to No Man's Sky. And we were kind of having this conversation about procedural generation and how it kind of ruins the creativity of games. And we got to talking about retro games and about how those games kept our attention, because the developers did more with less. And they snuck in these great stories and gameplay experiences into these bite-sized cartridges. I mean, they didn't look bite-sized, but the internals were bite-sized compared to what we have today. Yeah. And we latched onto it. And we latched onto it, but then we also, like, put it down and went outside. And we continue to play outside, which, yeah, and which is sadly something I don't see as much anymore either.
Yeah, because the games are designed to suck us in and keep us there.
Yeah, right.
And get us to spend money.
Right. Yeah, that's another reason why I'll gravitate more toward a retro game, because those were complete experiences. I have a 2DS set aside for when my foster son is old enough.
Okay.
Because that's where I want him to start. I want him to start on the Marios and the Zeldas and even the Pokemon. He's 3 right now. He's already got a binder of Pokemon cards. Like, it's already beginning.
Yeah. It has begun.
It has begun. His favorite movie are the Sonic movies. So he's a big Sonic the Hedgehog fan. He likes the Mario movie, but he won't ask for it as much. So he's already getting exposed to the culture. It's just a matter of time now.
Yeah, that first Sonic movie was pretty good, though. They really did well with that.
I agree. They did well with Mario, too. Like, he adores that movie.
Yeah. Okay, cool. I don't know. It didn't draw me in as much. The nostalgia was there, big time. The way they made like these cinematic versions of the songs and stuff, I loved that. But I don't know. Maybe I should watch it again.
It's very much an appeal to 80s children, because they even threw in like hair battle music and all that 80s pop. Like, it was very much a movie for kids and us parents.
Yeah. Yeah, Bowser was brilliant. The way they put him together, the character, it was very good.
Yeah, I agree. I think that it was just, I know we were all skeptical when we heard who was doing the voice acting, but they did well. I think it was a pretty solid movie.
Whatever, man. As long as it works.
Yeah. Yeah, it worked. They figured something out.
Something that struck me this week is, so I did a big like push on, I tested PS2 games on the RG405V. And I never, like, PS2 is where I was in university and I wasn't really playing games anymore. And discovering those games, so we talk about how, like, in some ways, some of the games these days have lost their way, but the storytelling in PS2, like, because I'm a big action role player game guy, and so where the retro games, like, you know, the 16-bits and 8-bit really did well was how challenging they were and how they got us, because we were like, I have to do this thing. It's so hard, you know? Whereas PS2 was like the era of modern games where it wasn't those really hard challenges that frustrated the crap out of you, but the stories are so engaging. I don't know. Do you feel that way?
So PS2 was a skip for me, unfortunately, because same reasons that you stated you didn't really get into PS2. I was in college.
Yeah.
And I did play games that had captivating stories, but they were on Game Boy Advance.
Okay.
Because that's where we were talking about the Pokemon games before. That's when Pokemon really started to take off for me. Pokemon Ruby, still one of my favorite all-time games, and I'll run through that game at least once a year just to do it. Except now it's, what am I going to play it on? Instead of just taking my Ruby cartridge and putting it into a Game Boy, now I got to figure out what device it's going to look best on and, you know, where I'm going to have the best experience. Now it becomes more of a challenge, but...
Yeah.
But I played Final Fantasy Tactics Advance in between classes. I would find a secluded corner of the library at my school, and I would just take out my Game Boy Advance SP, and I would play a couple rounds. And
okay.
That's where all my storytelling came from. Replayed all the Final Fantasies on Game Boy Advance.
Okay.
And then GameCube, I had a GameCube, but it was a party device. It wasn't a storytelling device.
Okay. Yeah.
So that's where I had like Mario Party. I played Sonic Adventure 2 Battle, but most of my time in that game was either playing the battle mode with other people or playing the Chao Garden. So I would rerun the same level over and over again to get stuff for the Chao Garden because I'm more interested in raising things and doing weird little busy work. That's just, that's how I am in video games. I like the busy work more than the actual level clearing and all that.
Okay.
So
cool.
Like I will play Mario and Zelda and that type of thing, but like Pokemon is busy work because I'm trying to raise a team and, you know, I'll do the contests. I'll make the little puffin things and I'll sit there and I'll just like hit the A button. Or back when I had the DS, I wore a circle into my screen because I was playing Pokemon Platinum and I was making the little Pokeblocks that you had to like spin it just right so it didn't spill over. All those little moments.
And
then like Harvest Moon 64, still one of my favorite games to this day.
Okay, cool.
Just because it was busy work. It was just little things. Like, I'm going to spend a little bit of time playing this, and then, you know, I'm going to go flirt with this digital character who, you know, I did better there than I ever did in real life. Let's face facts.
Good.
Actually, you know, I actually have on my Switch, I have the remake of an old Harvest Moon game that I used to love on Game Boy Color. And they added a character. They added a romance option. The romance option is Jennifer. Well, my wife's name in real life is Jennifer.
Oh, cool.
So, gravitated right to she's nothing like my wife.
Oh, that's great.
She's a free loving live off the land. She lives in a tent. My wife barely can handle a night in a tent, but you know it is what it is. So just. Based on the nature of the name, I just gravitated toward her as my romance option, and pretty sure it was easier to romance the in-game Jennifer than it was to romance my wife, but, you know.
I'm sure it was.
I guess I was successful.
Yeah.
So. Really.
So what's the game for you? Like, it turns out me and TechDweeb have exactly the same, like, game that we put on every single device we get. You'll see it in almost every one of my videos. It's Darkwing Duck. Is it Pokemon Ruby for you, or what's the game that you just play every time you get a device? You have to try that game.
It's actually not Pokemon Ruby, although I'll put it on. It's Super Mario Advance 4.
Super Mario Advance 4. Super Mario Advance. Oh, okay.
Super Mario Brothers 3. And because typically a device that I'll get is 16:9, so it'll handle the 3:2 aspect ratio.
Yeah, nicely.
Gamma in the community actually taught me how to get the right shaders for that, because it's the same shaders that he uses for default on Gamma OS.
Oh, cool.
And so, that's one of the first things I'll do is I'll get Super Mario Advance 4. And it's a special version of it that came out on Wii U. It's still a .gba, but it has all the e-reader levels in it. And so I don't have to worry about fighting how to get e-reader support for emulators. I just have them all there. And one of the first things I'll do is I won't go into the main game. I'll just play one of those random e-reader levels, and they're hard.
Okay. You're a deep cut guy now, so
I'll run it with that shader and I'll run it with the filter, and I'll just be like, okay, I'm good. This is fun.
Okay, that's the game for me. Okay, cool.
That's the game for me. And then I'll run into the other stuff. Like, if I'm if I'm doing an x86 handheld, I have to put Final Fantasy 14 on it because that's my feel-good MMO. Like, I could play that on pretty much anything. Like, I'll go downstairs and hang out. My dog can't be near the cat because the last time the dog and the cat were in the same room, he chased the cat, caught the cat, and was just trotting around with the cat in his mouth. So,
oh, crap. Yeah, that would happen to us if we had a cat.
Say that again?
That would happen to us if we had a cat. My wife saw a cute picture of a cat on Facebook or something, and she was like, let's get it for our daughter for a birthday. And I was like, are you insane? Because, I mean, our dogs just see, like, the tail of a cat going over the wall, and they lose their shits, like, on the couches, like, climbing over people. It's insane.
Oh, yeah. And my wife's not an animal person. So we got the cat under protest because I really wanted a cat.
Dearest. Okay.
And then my dad passed away last year. I actually lost both my parents.
Sorry, man. Sick.
Yeah. Don't feel bad. They were both well into their 80s. So they lived well.
Lived a good life.
Yeah, they had a very good life, and they, you know, they raised two kids on, you know, one income, and then, you know, actually it was one income both times because my dad was an HVAC technician, and so he took multiple jobs day and night so that my brother and I can go to school because he didn't want us going to public school, so we went through private. And so he paid for both my brother's tuition, my tuition, and then my mother wanted to go back to school. He paid for her tuition. Oh, yeah. Bloody he worked hell. His butt off. Yeah. Mm. No, he was quite the man. And then when my mother graduated from college and got a job, he retired. Because now he started to have back problems. His diabetes started getting worse.
Shame.
And quite frankly, he wanted to work on cars. That's all he wanted to do, was get up and go work on a car, drive it for a while, sell it, get the next one. His hobby of renovating cars was very similar to our hobbies with tweaking retro handhelds.
Yeah, like an obsession.
And then never wanted to deal with them again.
Yeah, the journey of just setting it up and playing with it.
You spit water. I'm sorry. I saw you having to like stop a second to laugh.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, so excuse my ignorance, but so I mean, I don't know how these things work. So, because you said you were born into an Italian family,
I was.
Were your parents like first generation immigrants, or you know, have they been there a while?
No, my family had been in the States for a couple of generations. So my grandmother was actually the one who had the parents who immigrated into the United States.
All right.
And so she grew up with that heavy cultural pride.
Mm.
And she passed that on. My grandmother lived to be 96, so I was well in college when she passed. Like, she was with us for a good chunk of our lives.
Sure.
So she was actually the one to pass down the culture and the pride and the guilt. And my parents were more traditional Americans. But They still kept the guilt. That was passed down quite nicely.
Kept some of the elements.
Yeah. And my dad was actually the one who cooked. Like, he'd work a million jobs, still come home and make dinner. Like, I don't know how that man did it. Like, he was a fool.
Crazy, man.
My mother was too, but yeah. It was like that scene from My Big Fat Greek Wedding where Where the mom's talking to the daughter and she's like, yeah, your dad is the head of the household, but I'm the neck. I can make him go any way I want him to. And man, that was true. She got fired up And he would do one of two things. He would do whatever he wanted, or he would get upset and go downstairs and hang out with the dog, who also could not be in the same room as the cat.
Tradition.
Towards the end of my dad's life, it's actually the same dog, because 2 years ago, he was hospitalized, and when he came back, he said, "Can you take care of the dog?" And so okay. I have the dog. And when I get frustrated with my wife, my brother makes fun of me, because he says, I said, "Oh, I'm downstairs hanging out with the dog because I needed to get away from my wife for a while." And he's like,
full circle.
And he's just like, "Just like my father." And I'm like, "Yep, same dog."
It's crazy, so, man. Yeah, like it's my dad passed away. That's quite a while now, about 12 years ago. When he passed, I also went through that kind of thing where, you know, you're mourning the loss and they're on your minds the whole time. And then so many characteristics of mine that I started to realize I do, like little sounds I make, the way I walk, the way I stand. And then, you know, my wife started to notice and kind of ripped me off about it. And it's just funny how, you know, you live your whole life kind of pushing back against your parents, and then you hit your like mid-30s and you realize you are your parents, you know?
Yeah. Oh God, you can't avoid it. And I think it becomes especially apparent once you start raising kids of your own, because when Kyle came to live with us, I found myself saying things that my father used to say. His big thing was, and I know he got it from a TV show that was, you know, way before I was born, he used to say, "Bedtime for Bonzo," because I never wanted to go to bed. I always, I had serious FOMO. Maybe I have FOMO now, too, which is why I keep buying retro handhelds. But
big time.
I had serious FOMO, so I never wanted to go to bed. I always wanted to see, I always was curious, what happens after I close my eyes? How does the world like continue? I'm asleep. Oh God. And you know what? My son is the same way. He doesn't want to go to bed because he wants to know what we do after he goes to bed. And it just drives us nuts. And so he's like, he wants to be around me. And it's like, nope, bedtime for Bonzo.
Bonzo.
It's happening.
And now you're saying it.
It's now happening. I'm saying it.
It has begun.
It's begun. My dad was also notorious for going to a restaurant, never getting what he ordered. Like they would always get his order wrong.
They always get.
Well, we went to a restaurant a couple weeks ago with my brother and my sister-in-law and my two nieces. I didn't get the right order. I'm still not hearing the end of it.
Oh, funny, man. I find it fascinating. I think it's the thing that I'm enjoying the most with these podcasts is meeting guys from all around the world with different experiences, you know. Like, you know, I've always found it fascinating, specifically with North America and people who've come from like immigrant families. I don't know, that the whole experience, like, we have that here, but it's very different. But just how that culture remains so strong, you know? I find it quite fascinating.
Yeah, and the city I grew up in, it's also the same city that I teach in. Mm-hmm. You can go to a different corner of the city, and you're going to get a different population, and you're going to get a different set of cultures. I'm actually teaching now in the neighborhood that I grew up in.
Okay.
And so you're getting, it's more of a mix now, but you still see remnants of the old Italian mentality. But now you have it kind of combined with more of a Hispanic culture and Hispanic mentality, because the population, that population of my city is growing, whereas I think a lot of the Italians have either died out or moved out. And so you have this weird population shift, which is fine. But then I'm talking to my Italian students and I'm talking to my Hispanic students, and they all have the very similar experiences. Like there's a big connection to food. The food is different.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
But it's the that's what ties the family is the food.
Mm.
And there's still guilt. Just
I love that. Keep that thread. Guilt.
I just keep going right back to the guilt. That there's still guilt. And there's a lot of similarities, because even though everyone's all from different places, they all grew up in the same city.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I find it fascinating. I mean, because South Africa, definitely we have many cultures. We're probably one of the most culturally diverse countries in the world. Like, we just got so many different things going on here. Like, we have the biggest population of Indian people outside of India in the world. So there's a whole like history lesson there. But so we have all these things, but somehow I feel like, I don't know, I somewhere along the line as a white English speaking South African, my roots got lost, you know? Like, for instance, the Afrikaans people here have a very strong culture. Like, you know, they've got a very clear way about them. Whereas I feel like I'm a bit of a misfit.
So what are holidays like for you and your family?
True. Well, we have a small, close-knit family here in the little town that I live. So, and we alternate. So my mom's, and this isn't my blood relatives. My mom is my stepmom, but side of my family's got a very strong tradition, and they are English immigrants. They were from England. And they have a very strong sort of Christian Christmas tradition that they do every year. It's kind of gotten lost in the last few years, but so there's that.
The star, baby Jesus, like the presents on the 25th, like the whole what we in the States are typically used to.
So a lot of that. I don't know. I suppose when I nail it down, I do have a culture of sorts. But I suppose everybody around the world, you know, our sort of Western culture, which is great because we can all communicate and understand each other at a sort of base level. But on the negative side, that sort of uniqueness of each culture does get lost a bit.
Yeah, I agree. Do you find yourself kind of making your own traditions in a way, or developing your own kind of rules or societal norms?
Definitely. Yeah. And I suppose that is something that's happening everywhere, I suppose. But from a religious point of view, we were, you know, grew up very strong Christian kind of thing. And that all sort of fell away. I spoke to Russ about this sort of off camera, and, that was always a very strong part of our lives. And we still, I would say, identify as Christian, but we're kind of finding our own way now, because the norms that we grew up with, we don't really believe all that stuff anymore. So, everything feels a little bit sort of disconnected.
We need to get together, and we need to plan religious retro handheld holidays.
That is the most random.
Yes.
How does Christmas look?
Nick.
Oh, totally. Well, I mean, I definitely need to get some. I saw that, actually. Decorations for the tree. It was a little, I think, Game Boy Advance or something. And then it played like the tune of some. I think one of the guys in the community shared it on Twitter or something. But
they have
to get some of those.
They have quite a few of those now, actually. I think I have a Super Nintendo one that plays Super Mario World. I just picked up a Pokeball one to hang up on the tree.
Yeah.
So now
we should have a retro gaming party where it's a huge live stream with like 20 of the guys in the community, and then we have certain things. Like, for instance, if Russ says here, we all drink. Or if thing that I always say, but we all have our little quirks, and we have a little drinking party. I think that'd be good.
Stubbs says, deal with it. We have to drink.
Yeah. Good times.
We might actually have to do picklebacks if he says it. I don't know if you know what a pickleback is.
Have no idea.
So you take a shot of something and you chase it back with pickle juice.
Oh, come on.
It is so disgusting. And yet there was one night that I barely remember where it was a thing. Where a friend of mine is just like, you got any pickles? I'm like, yeah, I got pickles. Why? We're going to do picklebacks. I'm like, what's a pickleback?
Ridiculous.
Trust me. And he takes a shot of, I think I had Jack Daniels on hand. He takes a shot of Jack Daniels and then he puts a shot of pickle juice. And he's like, take this and then chase it with this. And I'm like, you're out of your mind. He's like, just do it. And I did it. And I said, this is the most disgusting thing I have ever done in my life. Pour me another.
It sounds like something invented by some university frat bros. And they were like, you know, getting drunk one night.
That's exactly what it is. It's just how ridiculous can we make this night?
Yeah.
Well, we got pickles. Let's do shots of pickle juice.
Let's do that. Oh, all right, so you're a teacher.
I kept doing it. Yeah.
Okay.
So,
and you kept doing it.
None of my students are listening to this. I may be out of a job.
Yeah, so I mean, if you segue to that. What I want to ask you is, it sounds like you are juggling a few things. You're on a podcast now that you're helping host.
Yeah.
You know, how do you keep it all going? How do you balance it all? You're married. I think you mentioned you have kids, so... You know, how do you manage that?
I don't. There are times I have to remind myself that YouTube is the hobby because I'm still learning the whole find a way to get companies to send you stuff thing. I know Rob has kind of figured that out. I think Joey's kind of figured that out. I think it's something that Shem and I should probably, you know, kind of put our heads together on because Shem is a lot like me. He's self-funded, or his channel is self-funded. So, you know, there's times where I have to remind myself, you know, I have to come home. And usually there's a little pocket of time, like this is it right now where we're recording, where I'm home, but I don't have to pick up my son until 5 o'clock. So I'll try to get some content done then. My wife constantly reminds me because there's also some late nights where I'm like stubborn and I'm just like on the cusp of getting something done.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, the kid's in bed, animals are taken care of. Dinner is cooked. Everyone's fed. I'm going to go do a little bit of work.
Yeah, finish the edit. She'll be like, or whatever. Yeah.
Aren't you? And she's like, you don't spend any time with me anymore. It's just you and your handhelds. It's like you're married to your handhelds. And I'm just like, and so I promised her. I got a video out on, I think this past Friday. And so I promised her, I said, if you let me get this video out on Friday, I will take you car shopping on Monday because we both had the day off. And that's what happened. I took her car shopping. We spent literally all day. Thankfully, she settled on a car. And, you know, I was able to find a way to make time for her.
Yeah.
A lot of the times the kid takes priority because, you know, he's three. He's our kid. He came to live with us 2 years ago. We got a phone call, literally a day after getting our foster license.
Wow.
And
jeez, that's crazy. Wow.
Yeah. And we didn't even know that our license had gone through and we got a call, you know, we have an emergency placement. We need to find a place for this kid now. And it was 2 days before his first birthday.
Wow.
And so my wife and I agreed to it. We basically said, you know, we agreed to go on this journey. If we say no now, that means that we weren't serious about it.
Yeah.
And so we accepted. And this, I had 2 hours to prepare. Most people have 9 months.
Dude. Yeah.
And so I run over to my brother's house. I get my niece's old playpen, her old high chair that she had grown out of, toys, clothes, like as much as I can get my hands on. My wife grabs diapers on the way home, like guesses what his diaper size is because we don't know anything about this kid.
Who knows? Yeah. You just need to have something.
We just need to have something on hand. My sister-in-law shows up with formula. We're praying that he's not going to spit it out or not like it. And by 6:30 that night, he's in our house. And
that's crazy, right, man. Wow.
Takes an hour to calm him down. And then I was home for the summer. My wife was still working. So this was a Monday night. Tuesday morning, she's going into work. I'm home by myself with an almost 1 year old. Zero parental. I had never changed a diaper.
What do I do?
I'm not afraid to admit this. By Thursday of that week, I was ugly. I was ugly crying. My mother-in-law had to come up and watch him so I could sleep.
Shame. Yeah, I'm sure. Texting, man. That is texting.
Yeah. So, and I would do it all over again. Mm. Because we've had him for 2 years now. Like, we call him our son. Mm. You know, he bounces back and forth between calling us by our first names and mom and dad.
Okay.
And, you know, and now it's just a matter of time now. We're waiting on the formal adoption and, you know, more than likely it's going to happen. But, yeah.
That's cool,
you know, before he came, you know, I was streaming on Twitch and, you know, I was trying to figure out my place in the world and,
yeah,
I seem to have all the time in the world to do all that stuff. And then he came. And so now it's a balancing act. You know, I love what I do. I love this as a hobby. There are just times I need to juggle with myself and say, you know, what's more important? Time with family or getting this video out. And so,
yeah,
a lot of times I know that's going to affect my growth, but I can't, you know, I have to make time for family. I have to make time for myself. You know, yeah. There's a couple of videos out there, probably my Loki ones, where I just, you know, my friend came to my attention. He's like, dude, you sound tired. He's like, you're not going to grow sounding like that. And I didn't believe him at first.
Yeah.
And then he's like, oh, you don't believe me. I'm like, no. I'm like, I don't think I'm that tired. He's like, hold on. Pulls out his computer. Hits play. Hoi, hoi, it's Michaela from Teen Retrogue. I'm like, that's got to just be one instance. All right, here's another one. Hoi, hoi, it's Michaela from Teen Retrogue. I'm like, dude.
Shit, okay, that's rough.
You've made your point.
Yeah.
And God, he was right. Because the second I like changed when I do my voiceover work and the second I like make sure I'm in the right mindset, those videos doubled in viewership.
Wow.
So,
sure, well, that's a true friend.
Yeah. So if he didn't hit me in the face with that, I don't know what would have happened.
Yeah. So are you guys going to foster again or adopt again?
Up in the air. We need either a bigger house or we need to do some more work to this house before we can open up another bedroom. Because right now our third bedroom is, for lack of a better word, my studio. It's where I'm sitting now.
Yeah. Okay.
And I'm sure I'm sharing the area with Jen. So like there's the area that you see that I've kind of just set up for, for moments like this, for podcasting and for times when I need to be on video. And then what you don't see is her disorganized mess of stuff and pop vinyls. And so there'll be a day where, you know, we remodel our basement. I move myself down there. We open up this room and then we have that conversation.
Okay.
And I think it all depends on our mental health, raising a kid. You know, if Kyle's older then and he's a little bit more self-sufficient, we're not getting any younger. So, you know, do we have the mental capacity to do that again? It's you never know. I would like to, because, you know, in a way I feel like I've definitely saved this kid's life, and you know, I would like to have that opportunity to do it again, but you know, I also have to have the energy to do it.
Yeah, you'll know when you know if it is the time.
Yeah. Exactly. And I think that's like what a lot of people, when they have kids biologically, which we can't, I think that's what they juggle with too. Like, you know, do we want to try again or do we want to save our energy?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we adopted. So we adopted, well, not from birth.
Okay.
My daughter was 3 months when we got her and my son was 4 months when we got him.
Wow.
Slightly different experience, but I totally get I have 3 hours to prepare, because even though they say you're paper pregnant, so you know, you go through the process and they're like, okay, you have your documents anytime now, you could have a baby. And almost to the month with my son, it was 9 months, but like, because your wife's stomach isn't growing and you aren't thinking about it every single day, you just kind of carry on with your life. And then all of a sudden you get a phone call, they send you a photo. They're like, cool, here's a baby. Come and get it.
So, and we didn't have those 9 months. We literally had 24 hours.
Yeah. Yeah. And but that's what I'm saying. We just didn't prepare ourselves. We had a bit of training in that, but I remember driving to Cape Town. So we live slightly up the coast and the adoption agencies in Cape Town. And we're driving down and my sister, who is a nurse, she's like showing me the diapers and stuff. And we were changing the diaper of my niece. And I'm like, okay, I don't know how to do this. She's like, Aiden, you're about to get a child tomorrow. Like, what are you doing? We just didn't have a clue. And then my wife's mom came along to meet the baby. And she was like, oh, here's some bottles. We're like, oh, crap, we don't have any bottles. Like, we just didn't know what the hell we were doing.
That was another thing. We didn't have any bottles the night we got them. It was the one thing we forgot. And we're like, wait a minute. What are we going to do? I had to run down. Thankfully, thank the retro handheld God that we all pray to. Thank you all, Master of the Pow Kitty. We have a 24-hour Walmart right down the street from our house.
Okay.
So
that's handy.
Thankfully, I was able to run down, get some bottles while she struggled to teach an almost one-year-old how to use a sippy cup, which she was not ready for.
Oh man.
I do kind of feel for my wife a little bit, because I think she misses the fact that she didn't get to have the experience of being pregnant.
Okay.
Like, I think she wanted like the baby shower and all that stuff.
Yes.
She's weird at that. Sounds like she wanted the morning sickness. Like, she wanted to feel that.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
Is that biological drive?
I mean, I guess I kind of get it, but at the same time, you want to throw up. Okay. So I've always said that once things are settled with the courts and the adoption is finalized, I am going to throw some type of Jack and Jill for her, just so she can at least have that.
Yeah. It's good to celebrate moments like that. I mean, we have the adoption day with our kids and it's important to them. It's important to us. And then obviously birthdays. And there's certain things like we keep a, a memory box for the kids that they go back to, and you know, doesn't remind them. They obviously were too small, but it's stuff from when they were at the care facility before they were with us, and you know, things like
that. Oh, okay, yeah.
And I think that helped form something in your mind of the journey that you've been through together, you know?
Yeah. Wow. So when they trained you, did they train you to expect certain levels of trauma or things that a biological kid would not exhibit?
I mean, with them being so small and young, they didn't focus on that specifically.
Okay.
But they taught us to help our kids, firstly, form an attachment, and secondly, form a story of like the journey that they went through to be with us. And to, so in the past, especially with adoption, and you know, there was, like people wouldn't tell their kids they were adopted, stuff like that. And obviously because it's interracial, you can't really, I mean, I don't know if I should say this on the podcast, but I met a family the other day. So white couple, black babies, and they hadn't told their kids they were adopted, which was just the most bizarre thing. So these kids were just pretending like they didn't know, even though they knew. It was just weird. So they helped us to develop that story from the beginning, so that it's something special rather than something to veer away from. But no, we didn't really do much of the sort of trauma, dealing with trauma and all that sort of thing.
Yeah. See, in the States, depending on where you go, going through an adoption agency over here is just not a reality for a lot of couples, because they want something like, you know, they're law offices.
Mm-hmm.
And so in order to go through all the legal court stuff and everything, you end up with $50,000 in fees.
Whoa.
To go through an agency.
Wow.
So what we decided to do was we decided to go through the Department of Children and Families, which is a gamble, because if you end up getting paired with a child that is going to get adopted, then they'll cover all the fees. But on the flip side of that, you could also get paired with a child that is only there temporarily and could end up going back home. And and they try to push more for reunification. And so there was a set amount of time where we had to try to have a relationship with the birth mother and the birth grandmother, because the expectation was he was going back.
Yeah.
And that was especially hard because we had bonded with this kid instantly.
Yeah.
And he had bonded with us. Yeah. And he didn't bond with his birth family because the mom kind of didn't really want him. And so she wouldn't bond with him.
Mm.
And so my wife and I were the first adults that he actually like formed a loving relationship with.
Yeah.
And he was going to go back.
Mm.
And we were a mess.
Yeah.
And then things turned. She finally got sick of going through all the motions for the reunification process. And she flat out told the social workers, you know, I don't want him. And so he hasn't actually been on any type of visit for several months now.
Okay.
And so, you know, he's bonded to us. We're his family.
Mm.
And so now finally, after like 2 years, they're finally starting to realize this, and they're finally starting to go through the process of adoption. Yeah. But when he came to live with us, it was a straight up gamble. We thought he was only going to be with us for 2 weeks. It's been 2 years and he's still here.
Yeah. It's tough, man.
Yeah. Wow. And then, you know, another issue we have in the States is they can't keep social workers. They stress them out so much that they keep leaving.
Yeah.
And so we've been through four different social workers, all who have to get reacquainted with his case and have to meet us and try and reach out to the birth family and do all these things. And they go from training to like 10 kids on their caseload, and it's a mess.
And I think that's a common thing all over, that social workers it's tough.
It's a hard life. Mm. So the one that's assigned to Kyle now doesn't have a life outside of her job.
Shame.
Yeah, she goes home and does paperwork.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's insane.
It's crazy.
Yeah, I actually said, so in South Africa, the reason why my daughter was 3 months and my son was 4 months old when we received them is, funny enough, you know, old laws and that, the biological father, so the biological mother has, I think, 60 days to change her mind. So she can say, yeah, I'm going to put the baby up for adoption. Oh, hang on. No, I don't. The biological father has 90 days, 3 months. So, and I said to my wife, like, because there's no ways after 3 months I'm giving that baby back. I said to her,
no.
Like, if anything like this happens where they forgot to sign a piece of paper, I had a plan. I was like, Botswana is to the north of us. I hear it's quite nice. I'm getting in a car and I'm taking that baby and we are leaving South Africa, because there's just no ways. Like, there's no ways I would have been able to do that.
We have made similar plans, but Canada.
Yeah. Yeah. I can imagine. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. We met with a children's home in our area and they took one look at us and they said, fostering's not for you.
Wow.
They were like, you don't have, it's going to break you. Yeah. Mm. I mean, I'm sure there's different set of circumstances.
They didn't say that to us. Yeah. No, they're desperate for foster family. So they probably looked at us, said, you're going to get too attached too quick, but we're desperate. So welcome aboard.
Tough, man. Yeah. It's tough. Sure.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah. So, man, how did we get from Super Mario Brothers 3 to fostering and adoption? That was quite the leap.
I'm a sneaky podcast host. That's all I can say. When I heard you talk about that, I realized, because it's a commonality we have, and it's been an amazing journey. Like, it really has been incredible. The thing for us, though, is, which is weird, it's not usually the husband that feels this way. I had a feeling, I had a sense that I wanted to adopt from, like, university days. I just remember having just the sense, like, I've just had this deep sense that I was going to adopt when I got married one day. And so I didn't want to put the pressure on my wife. And so I just kept quiet about it. And then one day she just turned to me and said, why aren't we adopting? And so that's how our story started.
That's crazy, because I'm the one who brought it up too. And I had that sense for about the same amount of time. My wife really wanted to have one biologically. So again, I kept quiet for a long time. And when we kept failing, finally I said, hey, you know, I think we're meant for something else. And I broached this idea with her, and surprisingly, she was willing to give it a shot.
Mm.
That's wow. Who'd have thought, Aiden? We're complete opposite ends of the world, totally different time zones, and we have very similar journeys.
Yeah. Yeah, because I just thought, you know, I'm such a weird man who, you know, because I've never met a couple where the guy in the relationship is the one that drove the whole situation, you know? It's usually the woman who says they want to adopt or foster or whatever. So that's
cool, man. Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. So yeah, somewhere in some weird tiny state in America, there's a guy who has the same thoughts.
Same experience. Wow. That's so cool.
Yeah.
It's a great journey. It really is. And it's worth every second.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And I don't know. It's, you find yourself loving those kids differently than I think you would have one of your own. Like, they're not yours, but they're yours. And
Yeah.
There's a little bit of extra love there. I spoiled it, aren't kid.
I think so.
He's got me wrapped around his finger and he knows it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I know biological kids, you know, parents also cry whenever their kids do something special, but like whenever my kids do anything remotely well or excel at anything, yeah. I'm just in tears.
My daughter
turns to me and she looks at me and she's like, "Are you crying, Dad? Are you crying?" Like with this grin on her face.
Yeah, no, you should have seen the look on my face. There were two moments uh-huh. where I'm pretty sure I had that. The first one was when he took his first steps and he did it right in front of me. And thankfully, I was holding my phone at the moment. So I just went, camera, video, come on, kid.
Do it.
and I caught it.
Awesome.
I caught it and it was great.
That's cool.
And the look on his face was just pure joy. And the last one was a couple of weeks ago. He used the potty. He did number two in the toilet and he was so proud of it. And
it's crazy. I have to clean a dirty diaper.
Yeah. And I'm looking down.
That's good.
And I'm looking down in the toilet and I'm just fascinated by this giant turd that I didn't have to clean.
That's just complete joy.
It's complete and utter joy.
Oh, brilliant, man. Sure. Yeah, that's so cool.
Absolutely.
Cool, man. Yeah. Well, I think that's a great place to end this. You know, also, I mean, I realize you are doing this as a hobby, but you know, keep going because it's so cool to have you as part of the community. You know,
your
videos seem to be doing well. You know, I mean, some of your videos are doing really well. So yeah, just keep going, man.
Thanks, and I'm not giving up on it. You know, if for nothing else, like I'm just invested in more the community than anything else, and I'm super grateful that all of you let me in. Like, there are so many people who would look at my channel and be like, you know, this is just some guy with a camera. You know, he doesn't have the growth of all these other people. But, you know, you and Stubbs and H and Rob and Joey, and Shem, like, you know, even Russ to an extent, although I don't, you know, unfortunately, like, I have a little bit of hero worship when it comes to Russ. So I don't know that I really engage him in conversation as much as I do everyone else because,
okay, cool.
You know, I see him as the celebrity of the group. Like,
yeah.
Well, he is. You know, if I ever have the chance to like talk to him, like we're talking, I'll probably stutter a lot more and be like, hi, Russ. Hi, Mr. Core. Or hi,
Mr. Happy Core. well, I've got to admit, I mean,
but you know, everybody has welcomed me in, and you know, I want to do my part and you know, give back to what was given to me. So no, don't expect me to give up anytime soon. Just, you know, there's going to be some weeks where it's going to be harder than others, and I'm going to keep plugging along.
Cool, man. That's good to hear.
Yeah. Yeah, but no, this was fun. I'm glad we had this chance to talk.
Yes, so. Me too. Yeah, very good. Very cathartic to talk about our experiences. Thanks so much, Mikhailov. It's been great having you, and good luck with the channel.
Oh, thank you. And keep doing this because these interviews are great to listen to. Like it's nice to be able to talk about other things besides, you know, which chipset is better or which battery is more efficient.
Yes. I think it's a breath of fresh air for a lot of people. Yeah.
Yeah. What can play God of War 3? You know, it's actually great to know that there's people out there that have the same struggles that I do. But yeah, cool. You know what? You draw a lot of good out of people, so don't stop.
Cool. Thanks, man.
Get Zoo to cry. I think you could do it.
I'm on it.
Looking forward to it.
Cool. So everyone, just check out Mikhailov's channel. I'll put it in the show notes. It's Team Retrogue. Great channel. Lots of useful content. So go check it out. Thanks, man.
Thank you for having me.